This is lesson HBS 139, and the title of this lesson is Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 7. And we've been discussing the manifestations of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, and we're ready for number 7 as listed in the Bible, which is discerning of spirits. Let's read now 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 7, since that's our text. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So the whole purpose of studying these gifts and manifestations of the Spirit is so we, as the body of Christ, won't be ignorant on how they operate, how they're manifested, and what they're designed to do. Now let's go to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now we'll go on and read what the gifts of the Spirit or manifestations of the Spirit are. There's 9 of them, as we know. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So here we have listed the 9 gifts of the Spirit, or manifestation of the Spirit. And as we discussed before, 3 gifts reveal something, 3 gifts do something, and 3 gifts say something. Now, just by way of review, the 3 gifts that reveal something are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the one we're going to discuss today, which is discerning of spirits. The 3 gifts that do something are the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. And the 3 gifts that say something are the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. And as I said before, we're taking these in order as they're listed in the Bible. And so we're ready for number 7, which is discerning of spirits. Now, what is discerning of spirits? It's the last gift listed that reveals something. Well, discerning of spirits is a seeing into the spirit world, where one can see and hear spirits. Now, this could be either seeing or hearing Jesus, since he's a spirit. Could be hearing and seeing angels for their spirits, or it could be hearing and seeing demonic spirits for their spirits as well. Now, let me just say this. This is not the gift of discernment, as it's been referred to occasionally by some people. There is no such gift. There is no gift where we think we can discern the intent of a person, good or bad. That isn't a gift. That really would be judging someone. And that's certainly not a gift of the Spirit. And it's not something we should be doing, is judging someone's motive or what their intent is. That's not something we should be doing, because the Word of God says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And so that's not what the discerning of spirits is. It's not the gift of discernment. There is no such gift. So let me go back now again and say what this gift is. It's a seeing into the spirit world, where one can both see and hear spirits. Could be either seeing and hearing Jesus, since he's a spirit, and he's in heaven right now. But when we see Jesus, and he's manifest to us occasionally, very occasionally, that would be a gift of discerning of spirits. So we're seeing the spirit of Jesus. We're seeing him in the spirit. Seeing angels would be discernment of spirits, because they are spirits. Seeing demonic beings would be discerning of spirits, because they're spirits as well. So discerning of spirits is a seeing into the spirit world where one could both see and hear spirits. And usually This gift is used in conjunction with the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, or sometimes even the gift of faith. These gifts work together a lot of times to bring you the whole picture God wants to give us. Really, with the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, you could have knowledge of any of the things God is or he wants to do. These three gifts, as I say, will work together. The three gifts that reveal something. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom, recall, is a revelation from the mind of God regarding a future event. In other words, it would be a revelation from God telling us something that was going to happen at a future time. The word of knowledge is a revelation from the mind of God about something in the present or past that would be otherwise unknown to the person proclaiming it. And so that would be from God, but it would concern the present or the past. Discerning of spirits would be a seeing into the spirit world where we can see and hear spirits. Often, as I said, two or three of these gifts will work together as the two gifts of diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues work together. Now, let's talk about some examples of the gift of discerning of spirits. This gift could be used in discerning the Godhead. And first of all, it's been used at least one time in the Bible to discern the likeness of God the Father. God is a spirit, as we know. Remember Jesus said in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So that we know that God is a spirit, and we know that we've been made in God's image, and that's why we're spirits as well. We do have a body, we have a soul, but we are spirits. Now, let's turn back to Exodus chapter 33, and we'll see an interesting example of where Moses had the gift of discerning of spirits when he saw God's spirit. No one has ever seen God's face, but he saw part of God. Okay, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. Back in Exodus chapter 33, I'm getting there, verses 18 to 23. Let's just read here. Moses said to God, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And then he said, God said back to him, I will make all my great goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now let's go down to verse 6 in the next chapter. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Okay, so here we have a case of discerning of spirits where Moses saw a likeness of God the Father. He didn't see his face, and he didn't see God because God is in heaven. He looked into spirit and could see some attributes of God. He could see the likeness of God, but he never did see his face. To this day, no one that is outside of heaven has ever seen God's face. If you read John 1:18 and 1 John 4:12, it says no man has ever seen God's face. I'll just go to John chapter 1, verse 18 and read it quickly to verify this. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And if we go to 1 John 4:12, we'll see. 1 John 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. So we have two witnesses there that no one has ever seen God himself at any time. Now, the only way we've seen a likeness of God is like Moses did, through discerning of spirits. And let's look at one more scripture here, Matthew 18, verse 10. I think it's interesting as well. Matthew 18, verse 10 says, and Jesus was speaking to those gathered about him, and he said, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." In this verse, we can see that God is in heaven, and he's stayed in heaven. But occasionally, through the discerning of spirits, we can see a likeness of God like Moses did. Or I wouldn't say we. I never have, and I don't know anyone that ever has. But we do have this one case, in the Bible at least, where Moses saw a likeness of God through discerning of spirits. And it tells us here that God is in heaven. He says, "Their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." The face of the Father is in heaven. God is in heaven. No one has ever beheld God himself. For to do so, no one could see his face and live. And so that's why no one has ever seen God's face. And that's why God could only show Moses his back parts through the gift of discerning of spirits. But, folks, later we'll see him face to face. 1 John 3:2, if we look back in 1 John where we just were, and we go back one chapter, we see that it says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." Listen, "for we shall see him as he is." So there's coming a time where we'll be able to see God as he is. We'll be able to see God's face, but not now, because we haven't got the type of body yet that could see God's face. So we see here that the discerning of spirits could be used to discern the Godhead. In this first example, we've seen a discernment of the likeness of God the Father. Now, let's go to a kind of an interesting thing, which very few people know about, where actually John, on the island of Patmos, was able to discern, through the discerning of spirits, he was able to see the Holy Spirit. Now, that's kind of unusual. You go, someone saw the Holy Spirit. Well, let's go back and read about this before we draw any conclusions here. Let's go back and read Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 through 5 would be sufficient. Let's go back and read this. Now, what I'm going to read here in Revelation chapter 4, there's four places in Revelation where the seven spirits of God are discussed, but I'm just going to read one of those. And the four places are in Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 4, and Revelation chapter 5. There is in all those four chapters a discussion of the seven spirits of God. And that really means the seven aspects of the Spirit of God. There are not seven spirits of God, literally, of course. There's only one Holy Spirit. But he has seven attributes. And that's why it's called the seven spirits of God in these four places. But let's read Revelation chapter 4, and let's read verses 2 through 5. And John says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now listen. "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And as I said, the seven spirits of God are discussed in Revelation chapter 1, 3, 4, and 5. And we read just the one in chapter 4 here. It talks about seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, or which reveal the seven attributes of the Spirit of God. Well, you know, I read this, seven spirits of God, or seven attributes of the Spirit of God, And I thought, I wonder what these are. So I went back and I looked through the Bible, and would you know, I found seven attributes of the Spirit of God. In the Word of God, you can look this up for yourself if you want to. He's called the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Life, the Spirit of Grace, the Spirit of Holiness, the Spirit of Promise, the Spirit of Glory, and the Spirit of Prophecy. Seven different attributes of the Spirit of God. If you want to do something on your own, you can go back and look these up. Just go into your concordance and look up Spirit of, and you will see He's the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Life, the Spirit of Grace, the Spirit of Holiness, the Spirit of Promise, the Spirit of Glory, and the Spirit of Prophecy. And those are seven attributes of the Spirit of God. He is truth. He is life. He is grace. He is holiness. He is the Spirit of promise in the sense that He is the promise of salvation because He lives inside of us. He is the Spirit of glory, and He is the Holy Spirit of prophecy, it says in the Word of God. So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. So, through discerning of spirits, we've seen that we can discern the Godhead. We've already seen a discerning of the likeness of God the Father. Through discerning of spirits, where Moses saw the back parts of God the Father. We've seen discerning of the Holy Spirit through John, had discerning of spirits on the island of Patmos. And finally, discerning of the third member of the Godhead, which would be Jesus. Now, let me just say this. No one has seen Jesus' physical body since He ascended on high to the Father from the Mount of Olives. Back in the first chapter of Acts. But many believers to this day, up to this day, have reported seeing and hearing Jesus through discerning of spirits. Where Jesus never left His post at the Godhead, but to discerning of spirits, various persons in the Bible have been able to see Jesus through the gift of discerning of spirits. I'm going to look at some of those. I'm going to look at those which has happened since Jesus went back to heaven, of course. And look first in Acts chapter 7, in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. Let's turn there now. And this is an account of just a layman, really, Stephen, seeing Jesus. Now remember, Stephen was stoned. He was one of the seven that were chosen to serve tables. We hear about Stephen here again, and we hear about Philip, which was another one chosen to serve tables further on in Acts. He became an evangelist. But Stephen was serving tables, and it said he was, actually it says that he's full of faith and power in chapter 6, verse 8. Stephen was one of the seven chosen, as I said, to serve tables. He was a man full of faith and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. We're told that in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. So he was just a layman. But just like we're laymen, and we're learning about the gifts of the Spirit here, and the ministries in the body of Christ, gifts and ministries is what we're on right now. Stephen was a layman, like we are, most of us, that are listening to this. And he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people, just as a layman. All right, now let's look on here. At chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. And this is after Stephen has made a great sermon to the unbelievers that were before him. And he winds up, when they're getting ready to stone him for what he said, in verse 55, "But he," talking about Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." See, this would be discerning of spirits, to be able to see the glory of God, which isn't something that is manifest to our normal eyes, and to see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man," which is Jesus, "standing on the right hand of God." And that's when they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. That means put their hands over their ears. Didn't want to hear the truth. And ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. After Stephen was stoned, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So we see here through the gift of discerning of spirits, Stephen saw Jesus. So we've seen examples now of discerning of the Godhead through discerning of spirits, both the likeness of God the Father's back parts, the discerning of the Holy Spirit and the seven aspects of the Holy Spirit, and now we see an example of the discerning of Jesus through discerning of spirits by Stephen. Now let's go look at a few more. These are, that we'll be looking at here, are through Saul and then Paul. Now, Saul, an unbeliever at the time, came close to the discerning of spirits when he saw a bright light, not Jesus. But he did hear Jesus on the road to Damascus, and that's related in Acts chapter 9. And also in Acts chapter 22, when he related this thing that happened to him to some other people. But I'm interested in showing what Paul saw as a believer when he later both saw and heard Jesus in visions through the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, to see this, let's turn to Acts chapter 18, and we'll look at verses 9 and 10. "Then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision." This Lord, of course, is Jesus. And he said, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Here Jesus was just reassuring Paul that he was not to be afraid, but to speak and hold not his peace, because Paul had been persecuted greatly. And he just wanted to remind Paul that Jesus was with him, and no man was going to set on him and hurt him, for he had much people or much believers in this city. And then it goes on in verse 11 to say he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Well, here Jesus was just giving Paul a little pep talk, so to speak, but he did it through a vision, and where Paul both saw and heard Jesus. Now, this would be through the gift, as I said before, of discerning of spirits. Now let's look at another place where Paul had a vision of Jesus, and that would be in Acts chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. And Paul is talking to some people here, and he's saying, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance," or he had a vision, "and saw him." Now you go back to verse 8, you find out it's Jesus he's talking about, "saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not believe or will not receive my testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And Jesus said unto him, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." So once again, through the gift of discerning of spirits, Paul both saw and heard Jesus. Now let's look at one more in the next chapter, since it's so close, where Paul had another vision of Jesus, starting in verse 11. "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." So in the night, the Lord stood by Paul and spoke to Paul. So there is one more final example of the gift of discerning of spirits in the life of Paul. Now let's go to one more in the book of Revelations that John had on the Isle of Patmos. And we'll turn to Revelation chapter 1 and start reading with verse 10. And John is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke unto me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, he's seeing Jesus now, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow. And his eyes were as the flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So here we have an account from John the Apostle, where he also, through the gift of discerning of spirits, saw Jesus. And he not only saw Jesus, but he saw him in his transfigured form and in great detail. So here we have many examples of the discerning of spirits. We have here in the first part the discerning of the Godhead. And I talked about the discerning of the likeness of God the Father's back parts. I talked about discerning of the Holy Spirit. And I talked about discerning of Jesus. Now let's move on and discuss discerning of evil spirits, for this also is manifest through the gifts of discerning of spirits. Now first let's talk about Jesus' gift of discerning of spirits when he saw some evil spirits. And for this we'll turn back to Mark chapter 5. This account is in three different places in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And let's read about this account in chapter 5, starting with verse 1. And they, talking about Jesus and his disciples, came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now we're going to see here, this is an example of the gift of the word of knowledge for Jesus to be able to discern that this was an unclean spirit. So, as I said before, these gifts work together. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the gift of discerning of spirit, the three gifts that reveal something. So immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And we'll see further in verse 8 that Jesus knew this. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not even with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always day and night he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is a man obviously possessed with devils. Now listen, it gets interesting. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now this is the man running to worship Jesus because of the spirits that were in him. Now listen what happened. And cried with a loud voice. Now we're going to find out this was the lead spirit in the man crying out with a loud voice. There was many spirits, but in many cases where there's multiple demons in a man, there will be one spirit that is over the other spirits. And this lead spirit, we'll find out, cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. See, there's going to come a time of torment of these demons, and this demon was afraid that this time of torment was starting now. If you read the other Gospels' accounts of the same thing, it becomes clear that's what's going on here. He's in one of the other accounts, it says, I pray that you torment us not before the time being when they're cast eternally into the lake of fire. For Jesus had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now, how would Jesus know this was an unclean spirit? For there are different types of spirits. Well, he knew this through the word of knowledge. And telling us here that Jesus had previously said unto this demon, this lead demon in this man, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And verse 9, and talking about Jesus. And he asked him now, Jesus asked him, What is thy name? So he's seeing this spirit in the spirit realm, and he's talking to this spirit, and he's hearing from this spirit. And this is only being able to be done through the gift of discerning of spirits. You don't hear spirits, and you don't see spirits, unless this gift is in manifestation. So we've seen two gifts already. We've seen the gift of the word of knowledge, where Jesus discerned it was an unclean spirit. And now we've seen that Jesus can see and is speaking to the spirit. And he says, What is thy name? And this lead spirit answered, My name is Legion, for we are many. In other words, he's part of this legion. He's the lead spirit, but there are many more spirits down there than this one unclean spirit whose name is Legion. Now verse 10, And he, this lead spirit, besought Jesus much that he would not send them away out of the country. See, he's speaking for the rest of the demons that are in him. He's saying to Jesus, please don't send us away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And then all the devils besought Jesus. Now they're all speaking up, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now, it's interesting here. We're seeing a gift of the discernment of spirits in operation, and we're seeing that Jesus is able to both see and hear these demons, and we're able to see that there's many, many demons. In fact, Legion, this lead demon is called. And if you look up Legion in any dictionary, it's like thousands were in a Roman legion. Okay, so evidently there are thousands of demons in this man, all subject to this lead demon. And forthwith Jesus gave them, all these spirits, leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So this is a very interesting account of the discerning of spirits. It tells us a lot of other things besides just this gift in operation. It tells us a lot of things about demonic spirits as well. We find that there can be thousands of them in one person. And this is why the man was so utterly possessed that he would cut himself and break chains and fetters in pieces when they try to bind him. And he would go through the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. This man really had a severe case of possession of evil spirits. But nevertheless, Jesus was able to deal with this situation through the gift of discerning of spirits and the gift of the word of knowledge. So here we have an example in Mark where Jesus had discerning of evil spirits. Now let's move on and discuss a case where Paul had a gift of discernment of evil spirits. Discernment of spirits, but in this case it was evil spirits. And we'll turn back to Acts 16:16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, or telling fortunes, really. The same, this damsel, followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Okay, here is a case of discerning of spirits, where through the word of knowledge, Paul knew that this was a spirit of divination. And we know also that it was through the gift of discerning of spirits, because this young damsel, this young girl had followed them for many days. But it was only on a certain day at a certain time that this gift was manifested by the Holy Spirit. See, we can't manifest this gift anytime we want. And at this particular day, Paul knew what this spirit was, and he knew that he was to cast it out at that moment. And at that time, after many days, he turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. He spoke to the spirit. He had discerning of spirits because he knew what type of spirit it was through the word of knowledge, and he knew when to cast this devil out. I don't think he could have done this a couple of days before, possibly, because the Holy Spirit had not yet manifested this gift to where Paul knew what the cause of this young lady was as she followed them and said this seemingly innocent thing, "These are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." In the previous days, Paul may have thought, well, this is just a young lady that doesn't know any better, and she's just following us, crying out that this is really God, and these men are showing us the way of salvation. But at a certain time, on a certain day, the Holy Spirit manifested the gift of discerning of spirits and told Paul what this spirit was, and through the word of knowledge, and that he was to cast this demon out. For it wasn't just a girl saying these words. She was doing this through an evil spirit that dwelt in her that caused her to be able to tell the future. See, there are counterfeit gifts as well. The word of wisdom is a gift of the spirit that enables one to predict things in the future. But the enemy sometimes will counterfeit these gifts. There are familiar spirits that know things about us that sometimes manifest certain information to startle us or to bring illicit knowledge to us. So there's some faking of these gifts as well through the enemy sometimes. But when God comes through the gift of discernment of spirits, and when it involves evil spirits, it's God telling us it's time to deal with these spirits in the name of Jesus and get rid of this spirit. And so at this moment, when Paul knew what the cause was, when he knew it was time to cast this spirit out, the Holy Spirit manifested this gift, and Paul turned to the Spirit and commanded to come out in the name of Jesus, and he came out the same hour. So when the discernment of spirits is in operation with evil spirits, I believe it's time, it's God telling us it's time to deal with them in the name of Jesus. And in all cases when this gift was manifested to discern evil spirits, the spirit then was cast out in the name of Jesus, or by Jesus. Now, let's talk at one last example of the discernment of spirits, and that would be the discernment of angels, for they also are spirits. And for this, let's turn back to Acts chapter 8, and we'll see a case where Philip, the evangelist, who was also one of the seven men called alongside to serve tables, as was Stephen, we talked about earlier. Now, Philip went on to become an evangelist, and here in Acts 8, chapter 25, we can see a discerning of spirits where Philip is able to see and speak with angels. Okay, here we go. Acts 8, chapter 25 and 26. And they, Peter, talking about Peter and John, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert." And it goes on to tell us about how Philip obeyed, and he went down there and met the man from Ethiopia, and witnessed to him, and the man accepted Jesus as his Savior. And then in verse 39, it tells us, "The Spirit of the Lord then caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and but went on his way rejoicing, because he was now saved." But my point here is really in verse 26, where it said, "And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, and to go down and meet this chariot." So here we see a case where the discerning of spirits was in operation and manifested by the Holy Ghost, as he wills, at the time he wills, where Philip saw and heard an angel of the Lord speak unto him. And there's one more I'd like to go through, and that is Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, where Cornelius saw some angels as well. Verse 3 and 4 of Acts chapter 10. Time's running short, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here. Let's just go to verse 3 and see that Cornelius saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He thought it was a deity, but it wasn't. It was just an angel. And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And then he told him what to do. So here, a man, just an ordinary man, wasn't even a believer yet, saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day, an angel coming at him that he both saw and spoke to him. And then finally, let's see one more example in Acts chapter 12, where Peter saw an angel, verses 5 through 11. Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and keeping before the door, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out, and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So here's an example of Peter seeing and hearing an angel through the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, we've seen the gift of discerning of spirits in operation in many cases, and I think by now you should have a good example of what this gift is. But let's now talk about what this gift is not, because some people have gotten the wrong idea about what this gift is. And I'd like to dispel some of this. First of all, the gift of discerning is spirit is not discernment. I've heard people say, I have the gift of discernment. Folks, there is no such gift of discernment. What they might mean when they say this is they might mean the gift of the word of knowledge. People might know things by the Spirit, but might wrongly call it discernment. But there would be no seeing into the spirit world with the gift of word of knowledge, with this gift acting alone. That's only through discerning of spirits. So I think when some people say, I have the gift of discernment, and they're talking about, they think, discerning of spirits, they really probably mean, if they have it at all, it's a gift of the word of knowledge. For that is a gift which we've seen is a revelation from the mind of God about something in the present or past that would be otherwise unknown to the person proclaiming it. And so this is what they might mean by the gift of discernment. But there is no such gift, the gift of discernment. There is a gift of the word of knowledge. Number two, it is not power to discern the faults of others. Some people seem to think that the gift of discerning of spirits, or the gift, as they say sometimes, the gift of discernment, is the power to discern the faults of others. This is not a gift. This is called judging others. And, of course, to do this, it would not even be restricted to believers, because a lot of unbelievers judge others and seem to be able to discern the faults of others. So, folks, power to discern the faults of others is not any kind of gift. It's called judging others, which is expressly forbidden by Scripture. For example, in Matthew 7, it says, Judge not, lest ye be judged. So we're not to do that. And finally, this gift is not the discerning of people's intents or motives. for this would not, obviously, be discerning of spirits. Anytime people say they have discerning of spirits, and they mean a discerning of people's intents or motives, this would not be this gift. That would just be the gift of, I guess, nosiness. I shouldn't say that, probably. Or a gift of hubris, which thinks they can look into people's lives and see what their intents and motives are. I'm getting a little carried away here, I guess. But sometimes it's just kind of ridiculous what people think this gift is. They say they discern people's motives or intents, and it's the gift of discernment, which is in a Bible gift, and it's not. It's not discernment of people's intents or motives. For as I said, this would not be discerning of spirits. There's nothing about spirits in this so-called gift. So it is not discerning of people's intents or motives. So let me just summarize. This gift is not discernment. There's no such gift. It's not the power to discern the faults of others. There's no such gift. And it is not discerning people's intents or motives. For this is not the discerning of spirits, which is what this gift really is. So in this lesson, I've tried to discuss and shed some light on what the gift of discerning of spirits is. And I hope this has opened your eyes to what this gift really is and to what it is not. And so then this completes my teaching on the gift of discerning of spirits. This is the homework to lesson HBS 139. First question, true or false? The gift of discerning of spirits is one of the three gifts that reveal something. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. Next question, true or false? The gift of discerning of spirits is seeing into the spirit world, where one can see and hear spirits. Is that true or false? That is true. That's exactly what discerning of spirits is. Next question, true or false? There are four kinds of spirits: the Godhead, evil or demonic spirits, angels, and human spirits. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. The Godhead is composed of spiritual beings. Remember in John 4:24, where Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know that demons and evil spirits are, by definition, spirits. Angels are spirits, and as humans, we are spirits, but we do have a body and a soul as well. We don't exist as the other three do in the spirit realm, but we're on this earth. We have human form, which is our body, soul, and spirit, so we can interact with this material world that God's put us in. However, there will come a time when we will receive our spiritual body, but that's not yet. Next question, true or false? This discerning of spirits would be seeing and or hearing one or more of these types of spirits. Is that true or false? Talking about the four types of spirits we just talked about. That's false because it wouldn't include human spirits, because there is no example in the Word of this, and we haven't received our spiritual body yet. So the discerning of spirits is never used to discern anything about human spirit. Next question. True or false? The gift of discerning of spirits is manifested whenever we feel this gift would help us to discern what is wrong with a person's attitude. Is this true or false? Well, this, of course, is false. It's not manifested when we feel this gift would be useful. It's only as the Spirit wills. And it's never also to discern what's wrong with a person's attitude. Well, I just answered the next question, didn't I? Name two reasons why this is not true. Well, the gift of discerning of spirits is not manifested whenever we feel this gift would help us to discern what is wrong with a person's attitude, because, first of all, this gift has nothing to do with a discerning of attitude, as that is not a spirit. And two, it's only manifested as the Spirit wills, not as we will. So those are the two reasons why this statement in the previous question is not true. Next question. Name two gifts that always operate together for the gifts to function as intended by God. What two gifts always work together? Well, that would be the gift of diverse tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Whenever someone gives a message, a public message in tongues, that is expected to be interpreted. The Bible even says if there's no interpreter present, that we should keep silent. So for the gifts to function as intended by God, the only two gifts that always operate together would be public utterance in tongues, which in the King James Version is called diverse tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Name the three gifts that reveal something. What are the three gifts that reveal something? Well, as we discussed in the lesson, they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. True or false? No one has seen Jesus' physical body since he ascended on high to the Father, but many have seen him through discerning of spirits. Is this true or false? This is true. Ever since Jesus rose from the dead and ascended from the Mount of Olives, took his seat at the Father's right hand, and ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And so that's where he is, and where he is has stayed ever since. However, there are people who have seen Jesus in visions and things through the gift of discerning of spirits, but that wasn't Jesus' physical body. Name three persons from the New Testament who saw Jesus by discerning of spirits. Well, there's at least three that we discussed in the lesson. There's probably more. But Paul saw Jesus through discerning of spirits. And we discussed that. John on the island of Patmos saw Jesus. And he actually saw Jesus' glorified body. And then, of course, Stephen saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father through the discerning of spirits right before he was martyred. So the three persons from the New Testament who saw Jesus by discerning of spirits that we covered in the lesson, and there's more, are Paul, John, and Stephen. Those are the ones we covered in the lesson. Next question, true or false? No one outside of heaven has ever seen the face of God. And then I want scripture for this. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. No one has ever seen the face of God. And scripture tells us that in John 1:18 and 1 John 4:12. If you want to read what that says, you can just look those up. John 1:18 says, and I quote, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So, no one outside of heaven has ever seen the face of God or God himself. And that's true. Next question. Blank is a blank, and they that worship him in blank and blank. And then I want scripture. Well, that's an easy question because I've quoted it so many times in various lessons. Here's what goes in the blanks. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the scripture is John 4:24. Name three attributes of the Spirit of God. Well, if you search the Word of God, you find out that he is the Spirit of truth, he's the Spirit of life, he's the Spirit of grace, he's called the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of glory, and the Spirit of prophecy. So you can name any three of those. Next question. Name three incidents in the New Testament where someone through the discerning of spirits saw and or heard evil spirits or angelic spirits. Well, I'll just give you the three that come to my mind offhand, and you can put down any three that you think of and can provide scriptural evidence of. But I'm thinking about Jesus when he casted out the legion from the madman of Gadara, who was possessed with the legion of devils, and they went out into, I think it said 2,000 swine, and they ran into the sea. So that was one case where Jesus saw and heard evil spirits and talked to them as well and then cast them out. A case where someone saw angels was Peter seeing the angel that led him from prison, and Philip when the angel told him to go down to the way that passed from Jerusalem to Gaza. That is three of the incidents in the New Testament where someone, through discerning of spirits, saw and or heard evil spirits or angelic spirits. Next question. True or false? The discerning of spirits can give us discernment in a situation in which we want more information. Is that true or false? Well, that's, of course, is false. First of all, it doesn't give us discernment. There is no such gift, all right? So that would be false for that reason. In addition, it's also false from the fact that we can't decide when we want this gift to be manifested. And so we can't decide we want more information on our own in a situation and cause this gift to manifest. So it's false for those two reasons. Next question, true or false? And it sometimes gives us power to see the faults of others so we can correct them. Is that true or false? Well, that, of course, is an easy question. That is false. This gift never gives us power to see the faults of others so we can correct them. That's not what it's for. It's the discerning of spirits. Spirits are always involved in this gift. So that would be false. Next question, true or false? A spirit being, God, created the material things that we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Therefore, the spirit world is more permanent than the natural world we now live in. Is that true or false? That is true. Hebrews 11:3 tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, the things that we see in this world, the material things, were not made from other things. The creation started all this, and that was made from spirit, as God is a spirit. And so, a spirit being then, God created the material things as that we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And for that reason, the spirit world is more permanent than the natural world we now live in. The only reason we live in a material body now is because we have to interact through our senses with the world that we live in. But there will come a day, if we're believers, we'll go to heaven. There, we won't need our physical body anymore, and we'll be given a spiritual body. So this question, the way it's worded, is true. And the last question, the spirit realm is eternal, whereas the physical realm is only for a time. Is that true or false? Well, that also is true. I gave you a scripture there, which I've always found useful in discussing this fact, and that is 2 Corinthians 4:18. And I'll just read it here. Well, let me start with verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means temporary, subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So the spirit realm is eternal, whereas the physical realm is only for a time. And so those scriptures show that this answer to this question is true. And so that then completes the homework for lesson HBS 139.